buffer because you might have some varying speeds there, but also having this inside shoulder to be a little bit wider. So as a transit service does develop and you really prove the concept of transit on the I-90 corridor, because that has been questioned, so you start out with a initial transit service with some stations that would be offline stations, so you get off at the existing interchanges. It would be more of a point-to-point type service, so maybe you start in Elgin, you end in Rosemont, maybe there's a midpoint in between, or you start in Hoffman Estates, maybe go to Schaumburg, and then jump all the way in. So there would be more of a point-to-point service as opposed to your traditional stop every station service. So really looking at the markets and the market conditions, that would be the initial short-term service. But there's flexibility in what we're trying to do here, and there was, again, buy-in and support for doing as the transit market is proved out along the I-90 corridor. We're allowing some ability to expand to more of a dedicated transit system using the shoulders, the extra wide shoulder that we provided. So it allows, if there's a need to expand the service, so you've got more of now of an opportunity to do something from a dedicated transit corridor purpose. So that's now we've got this extra wide shoulder built to the right conditions to allow that flexibility. And as transit continues, hopefully to expand throughout the corridor, we've left some opportunities through here. So now we're talking about, you know, congestion price lanes. You still have a congestion price and have a dedicated transit service through there. Now as it continues to expand, what we want to do is make sure there's an ability to go move forward with a true dedicated system, with whether it be bus rapid transit or rail, more costly option. What we want to do is see if we can create this envelope with minimal changes. So what we've done is try to create this cross-section.
Minimal changes in
minimal
the
changes.
Roadway as well as the right-of-way.
Where the difference is here with each option is an excellent point. What you see in orange is what would stay. What you see in gray would be the areas that we would have to change over time. So no changes going from this one to this one. In this scenario where we go from midterm to this long-term solution, might be 15, 20 years out, the changes would be adding in an outside lane, shoulder, putting in some maybe higher retaining walls through here. But where this, the impacts with transit really become apparent, and what we're going to try to think strategically about up front, is the additional right-of-way that's needed. Originally, when we started our discussions with Metro, we were looking at pretty extensive widths of right-of-way. We really wanted to do what we can to maximize the use of our existing right-of-way. Because once it gets out of our existing right-of-way, we've got a lot of utilities to deal with, high-line ComEd towers, we're dealing with residential buildings, we're dealing with businesses, so we want to be smart what we do initially. Before we jump into the ultimate types of transit solutions through here. So, looking long term, 15, 20 years out, some changes on the inside, we built the outside lanes. There would be some additional right-of-way that would be required to accommodate the dedicated rail. And then what we've also done, so here we have a full shoulder in those areas where there would be stations. So maybe over time you would have a couple inline stations. I think in this initial scenario, what we're now talking about is maybe one or two, likely one big mainline key focal point type of station, possibly in the Schaumburg area, where it would make sense where there's already transit center. So long term, maybe there's more inline stations similar to say the Blue Line or something like that. You have stations down the middle of the roadway. In those station areas, shoulder gets reduced. You still fit everything in basically within here, but you also have room now for station or platform or whatever it might be. So again, coming up with something that gives an interim solution so we can proceed with some construction, provide some of the benefits out there, the pavement needs it, but it's something that provides a transit benefit. Communities and transit agencies are in agreement with this, so the council, we develop something that provides that flexibility for the midterm and the long-term solution is out there too, and there's an understanding of what would have to happen. We'll make everybody really think smarter about where they want to incorporate stations, because what we'll be doing throughout this process is really coming up with some of the cost estimates of what it's going to take to add these different elements on as we proceed.
And stations can, they could be stations, but they could also be, there's some discussion of park and ride mm-hmm. facilities, and, you know.
I want to point out that we're also working very cooperatively with PACE. They've recently submitted a CMAQ, Congestion Mitigation Air Quality application, for park and rides from transit service, expanded transit service along the I-90 corridor. So we'll be continuing to work with PACE, RTA, to really locate where those park and ride lots would strategically be located, looking at market conditions,
to really get ourselves a good initial service and then the opportunity to expand.
Rocco,
so,
just if I could, in the capital planning forums we've had, there was discussion about some of these projects, and, mm-hmm. and there was, in their cost element, there was a range often mm-hmm. given, and it depended on various factors, and then obviously I'm assuming widening lanes, et cetera, were part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But because this is a 10-year plan, I'm also assuming that expanding right-of-way may not be a part of the current 10-year plan, or is it?
For the long-term solution and the significant additional right-of-way acquisition, you know, we might think about certain strategic mm-hmm. Elements of that, we did have some conversations at the last corridor planning council about the appropriate zoning and appropriate action taken at the community level to preserve some of this corridor. I think we'd be looking at more the base case short-term and mid-term solutions here for, you know, the capital plan that we're currently undertaking,
right.
Which, you know, again, requires a little bit, but you're talking about, you know, a couple of additional feet of pavement and right-of-way versus, you know, what is a more significant right-of-way acquisition.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. The short-term plan, I don't think, varies too much from what we did mm-hmm. throughout the rest of the system
right.
under the current CRP.
Right.
There was locations where we did need right-of-way, and that is, of course, built into any future program or future plan that we have for this corridor. But it doesn't change that the additional 4.5 feet doesn't throw everything out the window and require us to do wholesale purchase of right of way.
Correct. So the cost related to the 4.5 feet, et cetera, is in the 10-year plan.
Correct.
The cost of major right of way acquisition to do a longer term plan isn't really part of this.
Right.
Right.
And the bigger impact on the right of way are the utilities. Mm-hmm. We've got a huge water line
right.
that runs on the south side of I-90, and on the north side, it's the big, huge ComEd towers.
Yeah.
So again, we want to. Those are the big impacts in the cost of doing something
right.
Out there later. Again, we'll make everybody think smarter into the future.
Right. Thank you.
So we've already had a couple meetings. June 23rd, we had a kickoff meeting. June 13th, we just met. I guess that was last week. Time flies. Where we had some buy-in on the guiding principles and actually adopted those at the last meeting. And some support, actually a lot of support for the cross sections that we just laid out right through there, and support for the congestion pricing at the meeting on the 26th with the Corridor Planning Council. We'll talk about how we're going to finalize some of the Jane Addams work, talk a little bit about the cost estimates that you just asked about, again, and have some continuing discussions on congestion pricing. Pretty much after July, the tollways roll, and this advisory, I shouldn't say the tollways roll, the things that we, the tollway, need to get out of the advisory council from decisions on the I-90 corridor, we're pretty much going to have that buttoned up. So through August and possibly beyond, it's really going to, the council is going to focus more on the what's next opportunities. What happens at the east side? We heard a lot about that at the advisory, the capital planning forums. You know, when you end a service, we need to think of a network system. So really that's going to spur the discussion on of what happens and how do we integrate what we do on I-90 into the broader I-90 corridor all the way down in the Central Business District. So the RTAs, IDOTs, CMAPs, MPCs, RMAPs, Rockford Metropolitan Agency for Planning, they'll be taking more of a role in guiding the discussions and leading the discussions of the council.
And we actually heard the feedback at the last meeting that on this list we should add very specifically and clearly the Kennedy. You know, it's not, certainly future corridor planning would include the Kennedy, but that we needed to, you know, be very clear about, you know, the Kennedy there as well. Because even, you know, some initial thinking on that could help inform what the tollway does on the east side mm-hmm. of our, not only on the transit component, because I think we heard some compelling information from RTA about, you know, if, to the extent you have transfers in transit and how many people have to transfer how many times, you lose your audience or you lose your customers with each transfer, so you want to minimize the transfers and make the network as seamless as possible, but that the Kennedy should very specifically be added on this list and articulated very clearly that that's something they wanted to deal with.
Right. And, you know, just a clarification too, the price element that's being recommended is really starts from Elgin and ends at 294 to allow that that transfer from 294 all the way into the Kennedy there. So as we envision the operations of our, as the group envisions operations, that was kind of the logical termini of the management lanes would be at 294 to allow people to get back into the order as they go through the plaza. There are also, right now, the River Road Blue Line station is right at the River Road Toll Plaza, so there's opportunities to really make the links better into that, make it more seamless to get into the Blue Line and back to O'Hare, which that was another key feature that was discussed. Elgin O'Hare, heard a lot about this one. Actually, we'll go to the next slide and talk about this. The Elgin O'Hare West Bypass Advisory Council report was submitted on June 30th last week. Again, there was another press conference to kick off the official, or you know, make it more official on that. A couple of recommendations that are coming out of the Advisory Council report. There was four sections. There was diversity, sustainability, economic development, and financing. There were four groups. From the diversity, some of the recommendations. From the procurement side, there was talk about developing support services programs, doing it early, to allow the DW and MBE firms to get themselves in a position where they can start moving forward some of these projects. Also support for continuation and expansion of the Mentor Protege program. Everybody really felt that was very successful. And to encourage more diversity in our projects, there was recommendations to unbundle the contract, to make the contracts sized right for different, to ensure the greatest amount of opportunity for everybody. We talked about regional recommendations for regional workforce development, which included training and readiness requirements for labor who would be working on these projects. Also a continuation of what they people really felt happy with was the Tollways ECP program and
the earned credit program.
Yeah, the earned credit program. They thought that was very successful and liked the direction of that and recommended an expansion and continuation of that program. And then also some compliance monitoring and reporting. We don't want to just talk about how we're bringing in more diversity. We want to have an independent entity report back out on the progress. And then also talking about some enforcement programs to ensure compliance with the diversity goals. There was some discussion about the sustainability group, a couple different things here. There was a recommendation to incorporate practices from planning all the way through maintenance, so that would include design, construction, and maintenance. There was identification of best management practice that to make sure that we're incorporating things that provide the greatest benefits. Flexible design, like kind of talked about with this I-90 corridor, recommending renewable energy applications as part of the project, water quality monitoring report programs, and using recycled materials, continuing to use that, native planting, and looking at the triple bottom line, which is social, financial, and environmental. Economic development, if we go to the next slide. Economic development, there was a lot of great discussion that came out of the economic, out of all groups, I have to say that, but economic development, they really had a lot of good things that came out of here. They defined, quantified what the jobs would be associated with the Elgin O'Hare West Bypass project. It was 41,000 long-term jobs and about 13,000 jobs a year during construction. Tax benefits were about $16 million for long-term local revenues annually. There was about estimated to be about $750 million in federal, state, and local tax revenue annually during construction. So that those are some impressive numbers. The reduction of delays associated with the Elgin O'Hare West Bypass project were quantified at $145 million. And actually, you know what, I should have said this. I provided just the executive summary of the Advisory Council report, which has this laid out on it for you, too.
You have full copies.
So it saves about $145 million annually in delays by basically making travel more efficient for everybody, saving fuel time lost. And without the Elgin O'Hare West Bypass, there was a conclusion that the job levels will not return to the 2007 levels by the year 2040 if Elgin O'Hare West Bypass is not built.
Generally, that this study area was losing jobs.
They've lost a tremendous
amount of jobs. And that, you know, in order to kind of stem that tide of job loss, mm-hmm. this would help reverse that trend.
And without Elgin O'Hare West Bypass, they won't even get back to the 2007 levels by 2040. So 30 years out from now, that's what the projections are. Very detailed projections. Looking at this, and really, it was broken down by sectors. Of wherever it might be, retail, manufacturing, industrial. Financing, I think the word on this was spirited. many spirited discussions amongst the financing group. I know the director gave a report on that at the board last time. A few things that came out of that financing group. There was consensus on constructing this road as a toll road. There was consensus on the initial $2.2 billion project, so that came down from the $3.6 billion project. There was consensus that we should continue to look at transit and other modal choices. Consensus that we should seek federal government support for this project and stakeholder support, financial support, and also that there was a conclusion that there would be continued discussion about the financing options as part of this project. A few things that we'll be continuing to do on Elgin O'Hare.
But the, so I'm sorry, so on the financing side, we long term, that group decided there's some desire that they want to continue to work.
Yes.
Yeah.
And DuPage is kind of saying that they're going to step up into, not kind of saying, they are saying they will step up into the lead role to bring the local municipalities back together again to continue the financing discussion to figure out what how to close some of the gaps that were presented from the financing side in the advisory council report. Some of the next steps that we're going to be doing with the Elgin O'Hare project, we're continuing to work with IDOT to get a better understanding of the project costs, really rolling up the sleeves to nail down a lot of these things. And what IDOT will be doing is working with the communities, and we'll be actively engaged with IDOT as we have been, continue to be engaged with them. The finance discussion will continue, as we just said. And then there's going to be more coordination with the Federal Highway Administration to understand the implications associated with federal funding on this project. The latest council that we have is the...
DuPage, you indicated, is willing to kind of spearhead further discussions on the finance end of that. And I, when we talk about that, I'm thinking local participation is one of those elements. Are there other critical elements that would be part of that discussion?
I think that, you know, also, and I know that DuPage has taken the lead on this, you know, the idea of some kind of federal funding. I think, though, that there's certainly, you know, the realities of the potential of significant federal funding when, frankly, the current scenarios on the transportation reauthorization at the federal level are so much below what they even were last time, let alone additional capacity or additional resources. I think, you know, I think everybody has been encouraged to be realistic about the potential of significant federal funding. But yes, local participation. We did do some modeling and some discussion around one scenario, you know, value capture scenario, other scenario of local participation. I think that there's clearly more work that needs to be done to figure out, you know, how any kind of additional gap in the project gets covered. I was, you know, heartened that there was... while there was, you know, support for tolling of the new system, there was also support for, you know, they believed that they could support the tollway in some type of system-wide, you know, toll adjustment or toll increase to support some portion of the Elgin O'Hare. But there was a level set. There was not an expectation from the group that some unrealistic proportion of that was going to go just to their project. They recognized there were other priorities, other pressures on the tollway, and frankly, I was heartened by that because I think that obviously the easy idea is just to take something and have all of the funding dedicated to what you want, but I think there was an acknowledgement that that wasn't probably going to be realistic.
Yeah.
But yes, local participation and federal participation.
So the Illinois 53, we just recently announced on Friday the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council and the members of that. Really, it was the vision of this council was really created by the success of the Elgin O'Hare West Bypass Advisory Council. So the members of that group, and I have also for you the press release that we put out there with the members listed through there. But involves, again, agency. This is an extremely diverse group of members for this advisory council. It involves all the, you know, the agencies that you would imagine would be the tollway, IDOT, the planning agencies, but also a lot of the advocacy groups that would be several environmental groups on the advocacy side, Environmental Law and Policy Center, Lake County Audubon Society, Open Lands. There's also business and social service advocacy groups that we include in there because we want to make sure that we're considering the impacts, the overall impacts of everything that's associated with this project. There's business groups that are represented from both the statewide perspective with the Illinois Chamber, but also from the local perspective at Thin Lake County, because we heard a lot about the economic impact of this project when we were up there. We involved the trades groups and also engineering and contractors, because any decisions or thoughts that come out of this are going to have to be delivered by those associations, and also municipal elected officials and the state elected officials will be serving as an ex officio role on the council. The role of the council, again, we haven't really, the initial meetings will be sometime likely in August. It hasn't been set up yet. But the council overview, the goals are going to be really to develop a regional consensus. We've been talking about this project for a long time, but what we're looking for is to make sure that there's a regional consensus that, yes, somebody should move forward this project. And if somebody moves forward, should it be moved forward as a toll road? And it seemed to be very vocal and unanimous at the meeting on Friday that, yes, there should be something. But we want to make sure that there is consensus on that from that broader group of people. This group will also be required, asked to recommend some design concepts and financing strategies. So really looking at both of these critical issues up front in the process, rather than coming up with a process and a plan and trying to figure out at the back end. And there's going to be about 1 year to complete the report. 294-57, although we don't have an advisory council on, I would give you an update on what's going on with this project. If you go to the next slide.
We've had extensive meetings with stakeholders and the Illinois Department of Transportation,
yes,
and others who are interested in this.
Yes, and that's basically, IDOT's the lead agency on this. We've got our oversight committee that we've met. We're meeting with FHWA. There's some ongoing and upcoming construction projects in the works. And there will be some upcoming public hearings that we'll coordinate with IDOT.
But generally, the challenge on this project historically has been that there are multiple different movements, interchanges, mm-hmm. you know, exit ramps. Different
slides, you can see that.
Right.
To the
so
graphic.
There are multiple different kind of, as we said, you see the different colored movements there that are part of the project, and between IDOT, the Tollway, and the Federal Highway Administration, and then, of course, taking into account the local community input, just figuring out how we can phase this in a way that provides maximum benefit
mm-hmm.
In the near term without necessarily having to take on the entire project over a very short period of time.
Correct.
At current time, there don't seem to be the resources from any agency to do the entire thing at once, mm-hmm. which is what the federal government has historically been interested in, and I think we've had some positive movement on that.
Absolutely.
That front, and everybody really seems to be pulling in the same direction and trying to figure out how this can be implemented for maximum benefit sooner rather than later. Fair?
Yep, absolutely.
Overview?
Yeah. And now, on this project, you really have multiple players, you know, IDOT.
Federal Highway Administration.
Yeah, right, exactly. So is this a candidate for perhaps a more, you know, a little stronger collaboration financially?
I think that we would be looking and have been looking to the Illinois Department of Transportation to also, you know, obviously would be picking up and need to pick up some portions of the project cost for this effort. There's a significant benefit to the tollway from having this interchange in place and some, you know, relief on our system, and we think it takes a lot of pressure off the arterials as well as people are trying to maneuver their way between these two interstates that don't have a way to get from one to the other. So we do think that there's a significant benefit, but we think that this would be, yes, an opportunity for, you know, a financial collaboration between the Illinois Department of Transportation and the tollway.
And if I can point out, IDOT has already started spending some dollars to
yes.
get this, the work on this interchange has already begun.
Uh-huh.
They're doing the bridge over I-294 right now. They're going to start they will be starting to work on McKenzie Avenue, which is off to the bottom left of the map a little bit. That's going to be starting later this year. Some of the work on 147th, which is up at the top near the yellow, that work will be happening too. So IOT is already doing some work on this interchange, but it's just using state-only funding, and so really getting the ball rolling on this one.
Is there any research or current data on the economic impact of this improvement?
I don't have it off the top of my head. Really what this project does is right now if you drive on Interstate 294 you could get off at 127th and then you're going to go down multiple miles, I don't know, 8 to 10 miles or so, Paul,
mm-hmm.
Until the next interchange, which would be 159th Street just off here. So it's in a long stretch without any local access. So the economic development benefits from this project really emanate from the 147th Street, the new local access interchange that you see up in yellow, but then also by redistributing some of the existing traffic, because it is very disjointed how to get into the areas of, say, Blue Island, these economically underserved areas, Blue Island, Markham, Dixon, Harvey. So this would, you know, really reinvigorate some redevelopment opportunities in those areas. I know the Center for Neighborhood Technology has done some analysis on how this project will help drive some redevelopment into the Blue Island area. You've got a lot of freight and rail that goes into Blue Island, and this would help make
but
some of those connections.
But no good access point
horrible.
To this.
I wouldn't even call it no good. It is absolutely horrible access to get into those areas from 294
so
if you've driven on those local
or
roads.
Or to get into 294 or to 57 from those areas.
Yes,
so,
it sounds like there's potential for some fairly significant.
A lot of redevelopment opportunities. You know, those are towns that have historically, maybe back in the 30s, 40s, were doing pretty well. Over the last 20, 30 years have...
In particular, right,
yes,
have really met some challenging times. And, mm-hmm. and again, what we've seen and the studies that I've seen or the information that I've seen points to not only, obviously, you know, passenger vehicles, just convenience to kind of the those customers on our system or drivers on IDOT's roadways, but really the freight traffic here, mm-hmm. there's, I think, some tremendous potential.
This has been a long time, unanimous and unified support from all of the communities. I think we have resolutions from more than 20 different towns surrounding here for this project, and so they for that reason, for the economic development benefits.
And I believe you said this is the only intersection.
There's one other one.
One of two.
One of two.
In New Jersey. I think it's seven.
It used to be, when I started on this job, it used to be, I think, one of three. That was the first bullet point that I read, was that it was one of three, and now we're down to two.
And we're not overly concerned about the New Jersey one.
Right, no, we're not concerned about the
not for our mobility
right, right,
services.
Right.
And we have had some really good meetings with Federal Highways on this and IDOT, and they're receptive to especially seeing us, allowing us to move forward or together on implementing the important aspects of this that provide the most benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without forcing us to wait until we have all the money for the whole shooting match to move forward with any of it. So I think that's significant. And like Rocco was mentioning, the key things are there's a lot of adverse travel time right now, mm-hmm. associated with coming up 57, getting on 80, then getting on 294. Wouldn't it be better if they could just come up 57 and go directly onto 294, and it'll mean a lot for that particular area.
Mm-hmm. Good.
It just makes sense to have two interstates and have them connect. That's it.
Okay, very good. Appreciate the update. We will today and going forward always allow an opportunity for public comment. So this would be the time, and so I would ask if there is any public desire for comment here today. If not, then we'll proceed. We have no unfinished business, and everything we did today was new business, I guess, in a sense. And we obviously have no need for executive session, but I will be sitting down with staff here in the very near future to really work on the program for this committee going forward. And hopefully we operate, I think, as a way to integrate inputs from a multitude of areas here at the tollway to, you know, kind of define possible projects in a way that's understandable and hopefully meaningful. So with that, I would ask, does anybody have any other comment today? Director Canham, are you there?
I am here.
Well, good. I'm looking for a motion to adjourn this committee meeting.
So moved.
First of all, do you have any comment, Director?
The one comment it was really a question to Paul just on this last I-294, I-57. You said something right at the end that piqued my curiosity. You said that IDOT said it didn't have to all be done at once. It could be done in parts or what. I know that the figures we've received are always, you know, what the total cost would be. Is there a way to break that down into parts so that we can at least get the two intersections, the two highways interchanging without extending the full boat load, or?
And that's exactly what we're working on. Identifying the costs associated with delivering the significant aspects of the project sooner.
Yeah, but I think ultimately, long term, you see the full economic impact and benefit for those communities, you know, that are you know, most directly impacted by that interchange by delivering the full project. I think there's just an understanding that at this point in time, there's a growing understanding from the Federal Highway Administration and even in D.C. That there's not right now identified the funding to do the whole thing in the very near term. But the ultimate benefit is the entire improvement.
That being said, then, you know, while we may want to phase the project, are we going to look for a full commitment, you know, from all the various agencies involved to ultimately proceed with the whole improvement?
I think our long-term goal is to find a way to fund the entire improvement. Again, you know, looking for partnership from the Illinois Department of Transportation, potentially them using, whether they allocate only the state funds to it or some of their federal allocation to it as well, and certainly the tollway, you know, for our portion. We would be looking for, you know, a collaboration there. But ultimately, it's really a matter of, you know, delivering as much of the improvement as possible in the near term, but we want to look for the long-term solution which provides the most benefit and the full benefit for the communities impacted there.
Is there any thought of partnering up with the communities like we did recently here on the River Road?
I think the challenge is these are really necessary movements and access for movement of traffic on our system. That's one. And the second is that these communities are some of the most distressed in the region, economically distressed. So, and the capacity maybe isn't quite as readily available, but also, you know, we definitely have, you know, a need from a traffic perspective, mobility, freight mobility, and just getting people to and from where we need them to go in the least dangerous way possible, not forcing them off onto arterials that are problematic. You know, this is really something that is necessary for our system.
It's an interstate to interstate connection.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, just a ramp at a particular...
At a particular local community level. Yeah. So, okay.
Anything else, Director?
Nope.
Okay, with that then, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, very
opposed.
Good.
Sorry.
With that, we adjourn.
I support it, though.
Thank you, one and all. Here, you just have to sit here. Though, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Can I turn that off now, Trinity?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Efficiencies in our system. We are one of the largest landowners in the state of Illinois. We own about 13.